It's been said that in our development and growth as human beings, both personally in our own individual lives, and really as humanity in general, we go through this development in our lives. And I've been reading recently about how we grow in development of our sense of caring, And there have been at least three phases or stages that are talked about when it comes to this idea of us caring. The first stage, the first phase, is what you might want to call self-care. We care for ourselves. We take care of ourselves. One may even suggest, I'm not a psychologist, but even from our birth, you know, we initially want to survive and live and take care of ourselves in terms of our survival. And we begin to grow and we take care of ourselves. It's called self-care, taking care of ourselves. But there's another stage that we enter into, which is, it has different kinds of descriptions, but it might be called group care. It's caring for the group, the community, the family of folks that become an integral part of our lives. And we care for those people, and they care for us. There's this sense of a care with my community, with my people, with my group. So we move from this idea of just caring for oneself to caring for the group that I am a part of. The third stage, though, that is suggested is this idea of what's called universal care. We reach beyond just ourselves, just beyond our group, to care for all. This sense of being called to care for all of our brothers and sisters, all of our siblings, to care for all of humanity, because we are all children of God, all part of this community of humanity. It's often said that that third stage is probably one of the most challenging in our lives. Not all of us move through all those stages. Some get stuck in that first phase, that stage of self-care. Now, let me say that word carefully. It's important to take care of oneself. It's important to take care of oneself. But self-care that is just caring for oneself and nobody else, not even one's community or anyone else, can lead to an unhealthy way of living one's life. It leads to narcissism. It leads to this idea that I take care of myself and everything around me, I make sure, continues to do that. And if it jeopardizes me and my self-care, I don't want to be part of it. So that move to being part of a community, part of a family or a group, is a significant one because it draws us a bit out of ourselves to care for others as well and be part of a community of care. The third stage is a challenging one, isn't it? And I want to just reflect on that a little bit this morning, this idea of universal care, of caring for all in our lives. And I want to do it, a stepping point for this, in our gospel reading, which we read a few minutes ago, if you remember it. There's two parts to the gospel reading, and I want to focus more on that second part of the gospel reading. It's this encounter that Jesus had with, she's described as the Canaanite woman. We see in Jesus, and let me just preface this by saying I'm encouraged by what we see in this story of Jesus. It may be shocking at first to hear how Jesus treats this Canaanite woman rather rudely, in a rather condescending way, in a kind of mean way. And so at first, the words of Jesus can jolt us. But let's dig in a little bit to see this. Jesus, in his ministry, was a process of development as well. He initially saw his ministry, as he says in this gospel reading today, as to his group, to his community, to his community of faith, to those within the Jewish tradition. which was certainly a well-defined group. And sometimes, as self-care can lead just to me, sometimes group care can lead to just us. Just us. And caring mirrors that. Interestingly, religion, organized religion, can be one of the great offenders in that sense of just group care at the sake of forfeiting a call to universal care. And Jesus is a part of his tradition. He's from the Jewish tradition. And remember, when I talk about the Jewish tradition, I always want to say this. When we talk about the Jewish tradition in the scriptures, we're talking about all religion. We're talking about all organized religion. Because Judaism and its telling of its story in the scriptures is a mirror to us of what we could be and what we may be and what we may need to be as we grow in our faith in Christ. So in the Jewish tradition, talk about a group care, talk about calling themselves the chosen people. We are the people God chose. That's a real definition of a group, isn't it? And it's tough to see that there are others are part of this, because they're not. There's us. The first stage, there's me. Second stage, it's my group. But that third is a difficult one. And Jesus today encounters this Canaanite woman. Now, two things about the Canaanite woman. Number one, she's a Canaanite. Number two, she's a woman in the context of the culture of Jesus' time. Now, the Canaanites were despised by the Jewish people. The Jewish tradition saw the Canaanites as almost embodying evil. There had been wars and battles. They were referred to as dogs. Now, I don't want to offend those of us who love dogs. I love dogs. But there was a sense in that tradition of dogs being a condescending word. So they were looked upon as dogs, as in just embodying evil. They were despised by the Jewish people. So this Canaanite approaches Jesus. And by approaching Jesus, it's really approaching his group. She's also a woman. And in that culture, in that time, even a woman even approaching this Jewish rabbi would have been unheard of. So there's a certain courage in this woman. And she goes to Jesus, and she asks Jesus if he will heal her daughter, who she describes as being possessed by a demon. And what's Jesus' response? He kind of ignores her. He says to his followers, in a sense, to paraphrase, I'm not called to do this. This person is an other. This person is not part of our group. My ministry is to our group. My ministry is to our tradition. My ministry is to the descendants of Israel. And my particular ministry now are to those who've been lost from the tradition and bring them back into the group. That's kind of how he responds. And that may be shocking to us to hear that from Jesus. And the disciples almost support that because the group always does. And they say to Jesus, just make her go away. Make her go away. And I read some interesting things this past week from scripture scholars who point out that the original language of that insinuates that they're saying to Jesus, give her what she wants, just make her go away. Continue to ignore her. And Jesus even says, should I give to the dogs what I would give and take away from the people of Israel and give to the dogs? This is harsh language. This is almost hard to believe this is Jesus speaking. But the Canaanite woman persists. And she says to Jesus, don't the dogs even get to eat the crumbs from the table? I just want something, even the crumbs of the table. And Jesus, in this brief encounter, goes through this transformation. He reaches out to this woman, and he's impressed by her faith, and realizes while he's trying to reach out to the lost of Israel, to deepen their faith, here in before him is someone who's not even part of the group, has never been a part of the group, but is a person of faith. And he says, your faith is what impressed him, and your daughter will be made whole. It's a moment where Jesus breaks out of just his idea of caring for the group. He's already gone beyond just caring for himself. He's gone beyond that. And we see here the possibility of this incredible transformation of Jesus, reaching out beyond, reaching out and touching and being in relationship with. Not just the group that says, oh, I feel sorry for them over there, let's send something over there to them. That's not what Jesus is talking about. What's happening here is there's an opening in the group. The group is realizing it's not just called to this group care, but to something much broader. And this moment captures that. And what's encouraging is to see Jesus of Nazareth develop in his understanding of who he is and who God, his Father, is calling him to. It's encouraging to me. It should be encouraging to us to see this openness to newness in Jesus' life as he moves forward to a continued realization of who he is. Just parenthetically, I'm a strong believer that the scriptures show Jesus progressing and learning who he is throughout. I don't believe Jesus was born knowing totally who he was, but began to discover the fullness of who God was calling him to as he lived his life, as he entered into community, as he cared originally for himself, then for the group, and then eventually for the universal care that he was called to live. And to see that movement in Jesus' life should be encouraging to us as we continue to move forward as well and imitate that. We can be like Jesus in this regard. And the church continued that ministry. The church continued to break open, not just from its own identified group of care, but to a broader, larger sense of community. And as I remind us all, St. Paul is one of the great saints who called the community of faith to that. It broke beyond just a sect within Judaism to be universal, to be Catholic. That's what the word Catholic means, which we say in our Nicene Creed. Catholic today oftentimes is used to refer to a denomination within Christianity, but the meaning of that word Catholic is universal. We are called to be a universal, caring community of faith who cares for all, who cares for all, and we're called to that. Hope that speaks to your heart this morning, because as I read this gospel this past week, you know, we always see things and experience things in the context of our experience. And I think if this pandemic is teaching us anything, in sometimes painful ways, in sometimes sad ways, in sometimes ways that challenge our health and wellness, but I think we're being challenged to realize how connected we are. This grave illness is making us realize how connected we are. We are a universal people. And the time of caring just for ourselves, just for our group, is one that we need to move forward from. That may be part of what it used to be like. But today, I believe this pandemic is calling us to unite together, to break beyond our group care, to a care beyond. And we continue to care for ourselves. I'm not trying to say today that self-care is something wrong. Take care of yourself. Take care of your health. Take care of one another in terms of our group and our communities. Take care of your family. Here at St. Paul's, we're trying to take care of each other through our pastoral care, continuing to care for those we know, those a part of our community. But we're also called to care for those beyond and fight for ways that that care can be extended, to stand for ways and vote for ways that that care can be extended to beyond, so that there is no more other, but there's us and we. And like Jesus, we step beyond our perhaps understanding of what life has meant to us to a new possibility, a new understanding, a new depth of faith where we can connect and stand together as a people. I wish you well as we go through this journey together. As always, long for us to gather together again. But I hope this way of connecting connects us as a community and connects us to the larger community going forth. We are being called to something, I believe, in this time. And it's a wonderful thing to be called to. And let us model Jesus as Jesus came to understand who he was and who he needed to be. May we not need to be any more than Jesus, but to come to realize who we are, who we're being called to be, and who we can become as we reach out beyond and care for all of humanity.